Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There is always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore ethically non-monogamous relationships, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of ethical non-monogamy in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hands down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Hey there, swing set fans. In the podcasting world, ranking high on iTunes can mean the difference between some listeners and lots of listeners. So do us a favor and hop onto iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and submit a 1 to 2 sentence review telling us what you think. If you listen to us on mobile devices, you can also find us on Stitcher. Download their mobile app and look up Life on the Swing Set and listen to any of our episodes on demand at your fingertips. You can also help us out if you live around the world and have unique local issues to air that we may not have touched on. We want to hear about them. Head over to www.lifeontheswingset.com/forum and post about it. You can also leave us a voicemail at 573-55-SWING and we may address you on the air. Thanks for listening.
In the year since Life on the Swing Set transitioned from an almost exclusively swinger website to the work-in-progress swinger open poly community you now see before you, we've worked our hardest to let all the subsets of the SOP community know that we are far more the same than different. And if we work together to build awareness of open and alternate sexuality instead of sniping each other like trolls playing Call of Duty, we'd be taking on the real hard case, the vanilla thinking world. Tonight we discuss how a group as diverse as the Opens can find our common ground and act like the pervy grown-ups we all are. I'm Cooper Beckett, and with me tonight are...
Hey everybody, it's Ginger.
Hey, this is Dylan Trollhunting.
This is Shira B. Katz.
And we have special guest panelist Peppermint, polyamory organizer and activist.
Hey there, Cooper.
Hi, Pepper.
Hi, how you doing?
It's nice to meet you all.
Nice to meet you too. So, Pepper, before we get started on our show, we do this thing called business, which is where we talk about stuff that doesn't necessarily fit in with the topic of the rest of the show, but it feels worth talking about. And my business tonight is we had a few responses from the porn show where I rather shame-filled admitted to enjoying the casting couch porn videos quite a bit. And we've had a few responses assure me that those casting couch videos are not real. And I wanted to just read a bit of one of them.
So they just busted your illusion, right? That?
No, that's okay. I feel better. Now I just realize they're stupid girls still, but they're not at least being horribly manipulated in very illegal ways. I still like stupid girls. Having worked as an amateur porn producer, I can assure you that reality porn like this couldn't be produced and distributed without the consent of the models. Porn producers are required to keep age verification on file for all porn that is produced. In addition to providing age verification to the producers, the models must have signed a model release form which clearly stated how the material would be used and giving the producer legal right to use the video for commercial purposes, or the producer would be subject to numerous legal repercussions. While model releases could theoretically be signed after the fact, I doubt there are many, if any, porn producers willing to film a shoot without at least exchanging STI test results for the performers before shooting. It's not really possible to spontaneously film a scene like this without a fair amount of forethought and preparation. And he linked me a few articles that talked about how the reality porn genre is about as unreality as reality television. So,
and you're telling me this doesn't ruin it for you at all, because hearing you speak about the dumb girl thing,
I still think they're dumb girls.
It totally ruins it for me.
Well, that's good.
Okay, so you still feel like porn stars are dumb girls?
No, I didn't say that.
Just these particular ones are dumb girls?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. I love you, Cooper.
I'm glad.
See, he's only slightly less bad than you thought he was now.
Yeah, slightly less.
I think that this just, it provides support for my theory that it's really a more of a enjoying the power exchange dynamic as opposed to whatever else Coop was saying that he thought it was. So I don't know. I'll stick with that.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I find something really interesting in those videos, which is that they are not, they're specifically acted. I mean, they're acted, but they're specifically acted to look like they are not acting.
Right.
Right. They're made to look really like, oh, we're doing this thing. Oh, we're giggling. Oh, we're just talking. Oh yeah. Now we're having some sex. And you know, I think actually that's pretty hot.
And it takes decent caliber acting to not look like you're acting.
Or just really bad actors that happen to act like that all the time. I think it probably goes both ways, but I agree. I think that's part of what makes it interesting. The fact that it's kind of sort of an exploitation thing, but okay, maybe I'll still get something out of it knowing that it's an exploitation thing, but you know, in the back of my mind, it's like, okay, it's all above board. It's all cool. So maybe I still can watch it.
So wait a minute, Dylan, you're saying,
I'm really conflicted right
that,
now.
That after I got all sorts of shit for liking this, you're saying that now the illusion has been ruined for you?
Well,
which means you enjoyed the exact same illusion that I got the shit from you for.
No.
I knew you totally enjoy these stupid girls being taken advantage of.
I remember in the argument that we had saying that I was sure that this had to have been above board somewhere along the line, but that maybe somewhere along the line somebody got lied to or tricked into doing something. Because I mean, you know, in what the person wrote to you, you said that there had to be releases signed, you had to have an STI thing going on. Okay. That's still plausible as far as the storyline that they have going on in the story, which is, okay, you're coming in to audition for a porn film, and we're going to do some film stuff too. So it's plausible that they did all that and still got exploited later and or not paid for something. I mean, obviously, now I know that they aren't. But it's not my primary porn. That's your secret shame, not mine. I'm just saying I've enjoyed
Dylan
it when I've seen
Cooper.
It.
Dylan and Cooper could hold on to that line of thinking while I'm going to jump on board with Pepper thinking that if they're acting, if they are in fact acting, and then it's kind of just like couples role-playing in that really super cheesy couples role-playing kind of way. And so that could be kind of cute then.
Oh, you silly breeders.
Well,
breeders? Wait, what?
maybe they're actual amateurs too. You know, I personally find amateur porn to be very hot because no one's really acting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of a good setup where at least the woman in it is not supposed to be acting. So you could bring in an amateur and have someone different who's not really a well-known porn star and they're not really acting. And so that's sexy to me.
Absolutely, because they haven't gotten those bad habits of the porn face yet.
Oh, I hate porn face.
Oh, yeah. or the looking into the camera.
Yeah.
Or
no.
The fake.
Wait, what's
sound.
Porn face?
You know, the thing with the lips. It's like the duck lips from Jersey Shore, but it's orgasm lips.
It's
porn
that open
face.
Mouth.
It's usually actually on the guys and usually accompanies lick my balls.
Huh.
I'm gonna.
At least in my experience.
That's when you make that face, right, Coop?
That's totally. When I make that face, it's because I want my balls licked.
Christ.
Totally. So, Pepper, what face do you make when you want your balls licked?
I just say, hey, why don't you lick my balls? And
see, straightforward. I like that.
And no, I definitely never make porn face. That is a ridiculous face, like with the teeth closed and like the lips wide open.
Yeah, it's awful.
It is awful. It's awful.
So I know Dylan had a little business here.
Yeah, I have some.
And
really
it's not as happy as mine. Which
really
I suppose,
mad angry business. I'm fucking angry right now. Okay,
I can tell.
Well,
you had your porn ruined, and now this.
I had my porn ruined. I had my weekend ruined. Now this is just terrible. Okay, so anyway, we shot a link up on Facebook about this, so you know, we can obviously put this up somewhere for reference, but. There was a swing club that got busted for being swingers. And it turns out that the only things that they were actually doing wrong or violating were little city ordinances about obscenity, even though it's at, you know, a private club or private area, things like that. And it just it rubbed me in really, really the wrong way. I mean, other than, you know, police doing a sting operation on this. So here's how it started. I apologize, I'm mumbling. Here's how it started. People started complaining because they heard rumors that things were going on at this place, right? So they said, hey, there's some prostitution going on there. There's some drug trade going on there. And people are having sex too. Oh, but, you know, as if that's supposed to be the worst part.
Right out in the open.
Right. And so, you know, it's potentially the case that the cops might not have cared if it was just the sex. But, you know, somebody said, okay, drugs and prostitution. All right, I guess that makes it a police thing. So I can understand why the police may have investigated this in the first place. So they did. And they found nothing really illegal happening. They just saw people having sex.
And they specifically admitted, we saw nothing illegal happening.
Yes, police did not observe anything illegal, but they were appalled by the open display of sexual acts throughout the venue. However, there were administrative issues, special amusement, and liquor violations. So as far as I'm concerned, whoever was putting on this swinger party, the swinger club, probably could have done a better job dotting their I's and crossing their T's.
Mm-hmm.
But to get raided in a police raid like this instead of having the health department come and shut them down or something else happen, it's strong-arm tactics because people with their own sense of moral outrage come and want to shut down some fun. So I was really angry about how this was done, especially because they admitted that there was nothing really illegal going on. There were just little administrative violations. So
Can you tell me how this got to a news reporter? Like, who brought this to the news?
Well, there was a press conference because the police talked to the press about it.
Did the police bring it to the press?
Well, I mean, it was a big thing in the town, apparently. I mean, they, like I said, they had the conference on it, and they had the town attorney talking to everybody about it and saying, hey, it's still a public place. And so they're saying, even behind closed doors, if it's not in your own bedroom or your own home, whatever you do is a public place. So having sex behind closed doors in, say, a hotel, does that count as a public place? I mean, what sort of business do you have to be to start sectioning off a property or a piece of land as a public place or a not public place? This kind of crap happens all the time, and I hate it when I say it because it's behind closed doors. It doesn't qualify as public. So public obscenity laws should not apply here. Like I said, they could have done a better job with the liquor licensing and stuff. Okay, their fault. They want to get raided for that? Fine. But this is not a criminal matter that should be pursued, and we shouldn't have to worry about having the cops raid our premises whenever stuff like this happens, especially because it happened on a stupid tip. Once they found out that there was nothing criminal going on, that should have been it. There should have been no raid on this.
Yeah. The thing that really annoyed me is the activity there, according to them, disturbs the peace of others of ordinary sensibilities and violates community standards of public decency and or creates a situation that endangers the public health, safety, or welfare.
And you know what? That's crap. They say the same thing about gay marriage. The fact that it exists insults my sense of morality. That's absolute crap. Existing is a right. Existing and being able to express yourself is a right. You just existing should not be a reason for someone else to say, you know what? I don't want them here. That's the same crap that they pulled in Chicago in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with realtors. I mean, they said, okay, we don't want black people to be here, so we're going to guide people elsewhere so that they don't have to be near us. That kind of saying that they exist, so it offends us, we're going to do something about it, whether it's in public or private, that's absolute crap. I can't be more angry about this right now. I need to settle down.
The statement that sums it up why this was done more than anything else in this whole article is, according to Police Chief Thomas Connolly, who's quoted all over this article, is the town had a complaint and took appropriate action. There were people who were appalled that there was a swingers club in Sanford. People were upset. The citizens were upset about this and wanted something done. We did what we could do.
Sorry, my answer to that is tough shit.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I gotta say, though, this is, I mean, it's terrible. I greatly dislike what has happened here. a while ago, I did a media survey of swinger and poly media. Mm. And one interesting thing I discovered about the swinger media, it was all stuff like, you know, city denies license to sex party club, city tries to shut down sex party club, police raid swinger club. Like, it was just, you know, there's a couple of these that happen in the U.S. I think every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really bad, and it just keeps going on.
When you know, you talk about swinger media too, whenever swingers show up in the media, they're usually the villains on CSI or any other of those procedural shows. You know, something bad happened at a swing party or a swing club. And I'm with Dylan here. This little boiling outrage, and it's just like, you could have easily transported every bit of that dialogue back to the 60s. Or, you know, back to either the race issue, or when they were still busting gay clubs. And it makes me so angry that they don't see that things are changing. Not only that, but that they won't realize they're on the wrong side of history until it's changed.
So that's my outrage. I apologize. I know I have
don't
to get my
yeah.
Why are you
for
apologizing
outrage?
For outrage?
My episode, my episodic outrage.
Well, you either learn something or you're outraged.
Why can't it be both?
Well, rarely do you learn something that outrages you, though.
Except for that porn being produced and above board. Right?
Yeah, that did outrage you. I can see you clenching your fist.
Impotent rage.
So yeah, another club's been shut down. Now, I mean, really, the thing, if anything should be taken away from this for club owners, it is that you really need to follow the local laws as closely as possible, so you can stand up for yourself if something like this happens. Because if they come in and bust you, and then find out you're not paying taxes, well, you make us look bad. You know, and that happens. Or they totally don't have license to have, you know, there are so many reasons that clubs get shut down, and it's because of stupid shit that they didn't do, that had they done, it would have been a lot harder to close them down. And again, makes us all look bad.
It makes me respect the club owners that we do know a little bit more, since they are doing a good job. Even if they have to jump through a lot of weird hoops to get people in, I kind of respect that a little more.
That's a good point, Dylan. I think I second that.
I haven't been able to look at the details of these articles yet, but I will have to say, maybe one tip, don't hold a swinging party at a catering company. That sounds like that might violate some codes. Sounds kind of gross.
Yeah, sexual activity near food service stuff, I don't know.
Well, no, it wasn't a catering company, it was a banquet hall.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm. It says the town officials ordered the catering company to stop.
No,
although, in all fairness, whenever there's a prom at a banquet hall, half the thing turns to a bunch of debauchery anyway. I mean, there's sex everywhere. Shouldn't expect to go into a banquet hall and not expect that any surface I've been on is also not been on.
I don't think you should.
Did you say prom?
Yeah, apparently he went
not
to prom where
prom.
There was sex everywhere.
I wish I'd had that sort of prom.
I would have gone to prom. If that
hey, I didn't
case.
Get to participate. Although when I did go to, and I've known Tonya long enough to have gone to her senior prom. I did get to cop quite a big feel in the back of the bus. But no, there was no debauchery at the actual banquet hall. But yes, there was sex everywhere.
Okay, so, well, this is a perfect example of the kind of thing that raising awareness that we are here and maybe overwhelming the people who shout, oh, the humanity at that fact. Can combat. And so tonight, what I'd like to talk about mainly is why we still feel there is such a schism between the poly and the swinging and general open communities, and how we can work to close that gap, because one united front of all the sexually open people in this country, I think we would overwhelm the hell out of the vanilla people. Just my personal opinion. I have a question, and Shira, are you fine with representing the poly camp? What?
No, it doesn't matter.
I have backup today, guys. I have Pepper.
I know.
So I'd be more than happy to represent.
I don't want you to feel like we are putting baby in a corner.
Oh, it's okay.
As it were. Okay.
Because I could help put your babies in the backup corner as well.
I know you can, and I encourage that. What I want to know, and I'm going to have the swing portion of the crew tonight, and Ginger strides the line, I think, better than all of us. Ginger's right there on the hump, as it were.
Everything you're saying is turning me on. I don't know what to make of that. But see, every striding the line.
Really, we're not even recording a show. This whole thing was a setup just to get you really turned on.
Perfect.
So Pepper and Shira, what is your impression of the people? Of the people in our community, the swinging community, who have issues with the polyamory community, what is your impression of their issue with your community?
Wow, that's kind of a hard one.
Pepper,
I'm not sure.
Would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure. I actually rarely meet swingers or folks from other non-monogamous communities that have problems with poly people directly. But let me take a guess, and then you can tell me if I'm right or not.
Well, I personally don't have a problem with the poly community, so I wouldn't know if you're right.
Well, but maybe let me go there, and we'll see how this goes.
Okay.
I mean, there's this whole – I think there's this whole big issue out there of what I call mainstream stigma, right? You know, we're sort of in our isolated little bubbles. Like, I'm in the poly community. There's the swinger community. There's some other communities. And everyone's sort of friendly and happy in those places. But at the same time, we live in a world that thinks very poorly of us. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I think people really try to sort of hold on to being normal and being accepted, right? So they'll sort of make up things like, well, I'm normal and accepted, and I should be accepted because of these things, right? And for swingers, that might be, oh, well, you know, sure, we're swingers. That just means maybe we go to parties on weekends. Maybe we have a couple special friends. But, you know, we're still couples. We're not trying to do anything like weird and freaky, like rearrange the, you know, nuclear family or anything like that, right?
Or the bonds of holy matrimony.
Right, exactly. We're not turning marriage on its head by letting more people in.
Oh, God.
So you know, so maybe we're not like those freaky poly people who are doing that crazy stuff over there.
Mm-hmm. I could see that a little bit.
And you know, I'm making it up.
I can see that.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm making it up. I've actually met very few people who've said things like this. But the reason I'm saying it is because I see the same thing on the poly side. Let me tell you. Like, you get you get like poly people who are new, and they are very much like, well, you know, we just like to date or to have multiple relationships. These relationships are all very loving, and they're very emotional and very wholesome. And we are not sex freaks. Not like those swinger people.
Right. Well, before we get into it, because I actually do think that polyamorous people are worse about this than swingers are, but I will also say that I think that there's a little bit of resentment on the swinger side that perhaps polyamory isn't as inflammatory as swinging is. And so I think that sometimes I sense that I sense some resentment that poly people pass a little bit more than swingers do.
Yeah, our clubs don't get shut down so much.
That's true. Maybe not, but well, I don't think
I
agree
with
that.
All you do at your clubs is fall in love, right?
You know, we all have like dinner at Denny's, right? And no one shuts down Denny's because we've got our clothes on.
Well, in all fairness, I don't think you'd have to have clothes on to go to Denny's, but
depends on the Denny's.
Yet again, at my Denny's, you have to have clothes on. At my prom, there were people having sex everywhere. I don't know, Dylan. I think I want to live in your world.
Well, he seems to be living in his own little bubble. You know, we talk about Shira's San Francisco bubble, but Dylan's got his own magical little bubble where everybody has sex always.
Right. Well, on that note, around Shira, you saying poly people passing and the swinger resentment of that. It's really interesting because as I wrap my mind around where Prof and I are in this swinger open poly continuum spiral, I don't know, whatever it is, it's interesting because at different times, different words or labels will feel right to me and feel like they best describe kind of where we're landing. And it's interesting because I find myself, how do I put this? I find myself utilizing the labels that are out there in the popular culture in a way that feels right for the moment. So thinking, for example, like I'm about to plan a date with someone that we've been dating, and I think, oh, a date, you know, how sweet, we're going to have lunch, and it's so, and it just strikes me as the poly side of things. But then Prof and I are heading to a party on Saturday night that is a swing party, and it's a bunch of couples, and no singles are, well, no single men will be there. and it's very much a swing world sort of thing. So I think about that and I think, ooh, it's a Saturday night, it's late night, it's a swing thing. And so it's interesting how even within my own conception of things, I feel those two labels and kind of everything that comes with them. And it's interesting that I have these experiences and they all exist in my life and in my life with Prof. And it's all mixed up and it's all together and it's how we exist. And I still can't put my finger on one or the other. It feels a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And so, I don't know where that lands with your comment around that, but it is very interesting, the idea of passing. And I think, well, sure, I would pass because I'm going to go out to lunch with this friend and she and I are going to sit at lunch and we're going to have a fun, flirty time. And but then we're going to go our separate ways and it's going to be very sweet and loving and, you know, as opposed to Saturday night, which may transpire slightly differently. So it's just fascinating.
I think along those lines is Aaron on a Facebook friend. Aaron said that the media is often nice to those who identify as polyamorous because it's about love, after all. And many who identify as queers also identify as poly, so attacking poly people can be like attacking gays in many people's eyes. But swingers are often okay to attack because we're just fucking around. And we're the ones spreading those diseases.
Well, that's why I didn't agree with Shira, because you guys blend better in general because you don't go around talking about – if you have something to talk about, you talk about how you have – a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you're going out to meet people, you're going to normal places, and that's cool. And, you know, we do that too, but when it gets down to it, what identifies us as swingers? It's about the sex. So if I tell my friends, hey, I'm a swinger, other than the connotations and the stereotypical swingerness being key parties and lots of sex and it being a very paternal thing, you know, once, even after you get down to describing that, then somebody asks, so what's it like? Or what have you done as a swinger? Well, most of the notable things are going to be sex. And if you're not comfortable talking with people about sex, because that's a very private thing in general, then where do you go with that? So as I would imagine, so I'm guessing as a poly person, if you go to tell people that aren't polyamorous about what you've done, hey, I went on a date, we went to a concert, we had a great time. And then if there's any sex for that, you leave that out because, well, that's none of their business or it doesn't have to be. Whereas if I go to a date with someone, I can also talk about the things that we did, but it's implied that we also had sex later, or it's implied that I should be talking about that. And so if I talk about the best swinger times I've had, it's going to be the time when, you know, I was on the ground with eight or nine other people riding together.
So are you reinforcing what I said, or are you disagreeing with what I said?
No, I disagree, because you said that poly people blend in less than swinger people.
That's not
at least
what
I thought you said.
I said I sense some resentment from swingers sometimes that poly people kind of get a pass a little bit easier.
I got it.
But I also have an interesting thought right now, because Pepper also is an activist for the kink community and is active in the kink community, which does, the kink community will get together specifically for sexually based activities. There's clubs and dungeons and all sorts of fun stuff. And I don't ever hear about dungeons getting raided, and I don't often hear people bad-mouthing kinksters. Is there some of this that goes on for you guys too, Pepper?
Actually, absolutely. There was a just here.
They're villains on CSI also.
Yes, absolutely. or you know, when they want to be progressive, like they show you the dungeon and all that, and you think it's going to be like, I don't know, like the pro-dom or something who's the villain. But yeah. No, she's the good person. It was like one of her clients or something like that. Right?
Well, yeah,
that doesn't actually help.
Grissom had a relationship with her, too. I mean, that was great.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just totally went to CSI.
I mean, we actually have the same problem. Like, dungeons and play parties are actually always in danger of being shut down. We just, here in the Bay Area, about a year ago, had our South Bay dungeon get shut down for zoning reasons, of course. So the BDSM community definitely has those.
Pepper, would you say that when it comes to kinky sex or just large group of sex, kinky sex in a large group setting would probably freak people out more?
It's
vanilla people in the main, heartland of America.
Are you saying that like a dungeon space is more likely to get shut down than a swinger space? I cannot answer that question. I think they are both extremely threatening. Dungeon spaces can get away with a certain amount of like, oh, well, we're not having sex.
Right.
Right. Oh, well, your zoning laws don't apply to us because we ban sex in this space. So there's a bit of that. But on the other hand, when you actually go look at the stuff that the people are doing in the dungeon, there's a whole lot of like, oh my God, time to freak out now. So it's a mixed bag, really. Yeah. And here's this interesting thing about the poly community too. A lot of poly people go to sex parties, like not all, maybe 50%. Right. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you have already managed to arrange your life so that your partner or partners are okay with you having more relationships, generally they're okay with you going out to a party too.
Right.
And so a lot of us do. All the ones who are interested basically go. We have great, non-BDSM, non-swinger sex party scenes here in San Francisco. And a lot of people go to them and stuff like that. So I feel like there's, I was listening to what Ginger said about like, well, people sort of straddle the line. People sort of straddle the line in the other direction.
Oh, definitely.
So theoretically, for parties that, we host, if there were local poly people that were interested in coming, do you think that they'd feel more comfortable just kind of playing with each other and watching? I mean, I assume that watching other people have sex really isn't a big deal in general to poly people, right?
There seem to be these sort of like interesting cultural differences in how people go about it. The most obvious one being, when I go to, my favorite sex party scene here in San Francisco, right? Most people are operating as individuals. Like they're really, trying to hook up with just maybe one other person. Or actually there are a lot of threesomes, but the threesomes are just sort of arranged among individuals. And there are actually absolutely couples there who are looking to sort of hook up swinger style. But at the same time, I would say a lot of the poly people who go are looking to get together as individuals.
That actually confused me a little bit. I didn't get that until I was actually with you at Burning Man. I didn't get that it wasn't very couple-driven. It was really just individuals being with each other. I guess it makes sense a little bit, but why does it happen that way in general? Like it kind of naturally happens that way, whereas as swingers, we're kind of naturally predisposed to doing it as couples. I've never really gotten why the difference is there. I've just understood that it is there.
I think each way is easy in its own way. Like if you are trying to hook up as a single person, then it's just your preferences and the other person's preferences that you have to deal with. So it's a much simpler situation than a couple trying to hook up with a couple. But at the same time, I feel like the couple structure sort of, I don't know how to describe it, like protect swingers.
It's
because you're doing things as a couple, right? So that's safer in certain ways. So I think each is easier in its own way, and what you find is that people in one community prefer it one way, and people in the other community prefer it the other way.
I don't know.
I guess in this
situation, I feel like in the
sex
poly
is more simple than a relationship.
Perhaps, precisely. What I was going to say, I think in the polyamorous community, it's not sustainable. It's really very hard to date as a couple. And you find that a lot of people do it early on in their polyamorous kind of reaches. In the first couple years, a lot of people will be very interested in doing things as couples before they realize that romantically, that's just quite a feat. It's really hard to find one person who will match up, you know, very well between two other people, or let alone other couples or anything else. It might make sense for on a sexual level, but it can be very difficult on a romantic level.
That's a good point. I guess I forget how complex dating and loving relationships can be. I mean, I've been a pretty successful swinger, so, you know, I see that as not easy, but, you know, fairly routine, but I forget how complex
it
gets
bragging?
When you're actually looking for someone. No, I am. If I have anything to brag about, it's that I've been terrible over the last 9 months, but over the last 8 weeks, it's been fantastic. So I'm bragging that I've had a good 8 weeks. How about that?
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on the discussion on poly and swinging.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about SmittenKittenOnline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
When it comes to online dating, you at home have a lot of options available to you. But we here at Life on the Swing Set recommend Cassidy.com. We've tried many websites in the past, and while most are adequate and some are even pretty good, the one that we keep coming back to is Cassidy.com. And there are a few reasons for that. First of all, and most important to me, is ease of use. If you want to put a picture on your page, you know how to do it. It's intuitive. It's built in. It's Facebook for non-monogamy. Cassidy also has one of the most aggressive campaigns out there to get the most people all around the world onto the site. Right now, potential playmates are scattered throughout regional websites. Wouldn't it be awesome if they were all in one place so you could search one site and find absolutely everyone you were interested in playing with? Well, that's where the campaign for Cassidy comes in. Cassidy need not be your only site, but we recommend you give it a try. And if you sign up using the link on our page, you support Life on the Swing Set, so we can continue bringing you what's been called the best non-monogamy podcast out there. And if that's not incentive enough, if you join Cassidy, you get to see my wife's tits. How can you argue with that? Cassidy.com.
Sorry, I'm holding back a giggle. I was just like,
no. No, never hold back giggles.
That soundbite could go along with peppers
swing
earlier.
President?
Swing president?
30 seconds or less. Well, I've been a pretty successful swinger.
Well, you know, I have this 999 plan for swingers where
Well, sorry, I'm just teasing.
We're back to hear about Dylan's 999 plan to get the swinging community out of this swing session we've got going on.
I feel like, Pepper, sometimes when I hear you talk about the poly sex parties and everything, it blows my mind. I feel like, because there have been instances where I just am completely ignorant to this stuff, like entirely. There have been instances where I've met new poly people and they'd be like, well, you know, I just really enjoy having sex in front of other people. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, where is this happening?
Well, you know, I mentioned in our last Evolution podcasts that, you know, Tonya and I had been kind of moving in that direction. And so I've actually been talking with a lot of polyamorous people in the area. And hey, I didn't know they existed around Chicago. So great. Woo. But,
yay.
I found that just mentioning that we were swingers started a whole whirlwind of, by the way, we don't do this and we don't do this and we don't do this. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's like right off the bat, I feel like I have to defend swinging in general, which is, you know, why I'm running for swinger president, Ginger.
To defend.
I feel like even before I've met these people, and by the way, I have a couple of potential dates set up. So, I mean, this is going pretty good, but I feel like I have to all of a sudden become the defender of all swingers. Not like I have to defend it as a concept, but like, okay, here are the things we don't do. We don't get together and have key parties. We don't swap partners like that. It isn't always a meat market. That was actually a big one across the board. Every polyamorous person that I've spoken to, as in I've been interested in maybe seeing, has been, we may not be perfect. And by the way, you know, when we've gone to a swinger club, we feel like we're treated as a piece of meat or something. And I've had this ongoing discussion where I've said, well, it's not always like that, and I gotta believe there are people like that everywhere. Because in the regular dating world, there are people that treat other people like pieces of meat.
Oh, yeah.
It just gets focused with a microscope when you're talking about a little community within a community within a community. And it's been interesting to see all the different perceptions that, at least around here, polyamorous people have about swinging. But it's even more interesting experiencing it as a, hey, we're not like this. If you still want to meet up, it's cool, yo.
I have to say, just to dovetail on that, Dylan, though, interestingly, I've had, and Prof and I have had experiences with other swingers who have, you know, we've been dating and things are fun and perhaps they're waiting for things to escalate to a physical and intimate place. And that's just not where we're headed right at that particular time. And they'll say, well, you know, isn't this awesome? Is this working for you guys? It's like, well, yeah, it is. And then they're kind of like waiting, like, okay. And it's like, well, okay, how about another date? And it's just funny that even within the swinger community, that if you have a different rhythm, forgive the pun, to your dating and it doesn't move along as quickly as maybe is their rhythm to get to a physical place, that even within the swinger community, they're kind of shocked that you're doing things a little bit differently, maybe taking a little more time to get to know one another because you want to have a deeper relationship as opposed to just see each other at parties sort of relationship. It's just interesting that way.
I've been pretty lucky. You know, we've been pretty lucky having the great first couple that we did, you know, elbow-elbow. We got introduced to a pretty progressive and forward-looking brand of swinging as opposed to the other stereotypical stuff or even, you know, the soft swap stuff that's out there. I'm very happy that we like to swap fully with other couples in lots of different combinations. That's cool to me, and I never ever want to give that up. But there by practice, I think, or maybe by habit, swingers are all kind of closeted, and so it's harder to. And so we all kind of group together in these people that prefer different things. You know, all the full swap couples kind of get around other full swap couples, and while we'd like to reach out to the soft swap couples, it doesn't happen as much as maybe I'd like. Or the older generation of swingers, I'd like to see a lot more of and start more of a conversation with them on how they got into it and how it's developed for them. But I don't see a lot of them because I don't hang out or even know where to really find people that feel that way. And I think it's because we all start out by default as closeted swingers. So while, you know, the sites that we're on, and yes, I'm going to name drop Cassidy here, are trying to do a very good job of putting people together into one coherent community.
Join us.
join us there. It's not there yet, and it isn't working or functioning as a big community yet, because we're all used to being closeted, and there's not a lot of crossover, even between people that practice swinging differently. So, you know, Tonya and I can fuck on the first date if we're connecting with people, or we can go 5 or 6 dates before we get, you know, become intimate with someone. And obviously, if we're going to be, well, maybe not obviously to everybody, but if we're going to explore relationships with somebody else, it may take a longer time to get to that point and make it, you know, maybe longer time before we actually get to feel something really intense and intimate with another couple or another person, you know, whatever combination it happens to be in. But at least between swingers, I would love to see more crossover and more people that feel about the progression of, you know, going from first date or second date or fifth date to sex than not. But I just think it sucks that we all kind of start out closeted and not talking to each other, because I'd love to do that more.
It makes me wonder if the whole disconnect there then is the expectations of what the other person is going to want from you. And that's why it's the label of swinger or poly, because you could easily use the label of poly and have those 4, 5, 6 dates that you want and not have anybody asking whether, you know, when are we going to get around to fucking?
Oh, that's not true.
Okay, with Shira, you could use that because she's talked a lot about how long it takes her to get around to fucking.
Depends on the poly person, let me tell you.
Maybe.
Clearly. But it seems to me that a lot of it is when the communities meet, it's more worried about what, you know, it's our expectations of what the poly people might expect of us. It's the poly people's expectations of what the swingers might expect from them. And when we look at it those ways, it's clear that our expectations are about the furthest reaches in each direction of the community. You know, the swingers are worried that the poly people are going to want to move in.
and the poly folks, it's going to be like dating a Catholic girl. Where
when the poly folks are worried about walking into the bathroom and finding a glory hole. You know, I feel this a lot about our both communities. Is everybody's a lot closer to center than either of those things. There are fringe people who only want anonymous group sex. That's it. They don't want your name. They don't want anything. That's the far side of the swinger club. And then there are the poly people who maybe you're not going to have sex for a long time.
Well, or who move in. Like after like 2 months. Oh no. Like 2 or 3 months. It's terrible, actually.
Yeah. Wait, seriously? There are poly people that want to move in after like 2 months?
Oh yeah. Couples dating a single person often.
Why does that surprise you?
Because 2 or 3 months is very fast. It's not.
No.
That seems terrifying. I mean, I couldn't imagine dating somebody for 3 months.
I agree.
Okay.
It's way too fast. I'm pointing out that it's not that different from regular relationships. You see all sorts of people moving in at breakneck speeds and assuming that they are in love after a few dates. I mean, just look at the people who get married after a week. It's like you don't know this person.
For the record, I will say that the poly reaction, I feel like sometimes that the poly reaction versus swinger reaction when poly people and swinger people are talking to each other might be amped up just because of the difference between us. I typically am on guard, period. I guess when I'm interacting with new boys or new people who might be interested in me sexually, specifically boys, just because guys are always trying to hook up, just like regardless. So I'm always kind of on edge. And it's not necessarily a swinger reaction all the time, but it could just be a matter of everyone's hyper aware of the reactions that occur because we have this difference.
There's this other thing that's going on as well, I think, which is that there's this thing that happens to poly people where, you know, let's say you're a poly person who's not really into sort of like getting out there and slutting around and like having lots of partners. Like maybe you just want to have like two or three partners and you want to meet them and you want to date them. And you go to your monogamous friends and you say this to them. And, you know, the first person you say it to is like, oh, so you're a slut. Want to fuck? Right? And then you go to your next monogamous friend and the exact same thing happens. Because, of course, as soon as you get past one person, you're just out there. You're a sex addict. You're a nympho. You're going to go crazy all over the place and people can just have sex with you, right? And so I think poly people get really defensive, you know, towards the monogamous people, actually, not even the swingers, about this. And so when they meet someone, and so, you know, you get the speech down that's like, oh, no, I don't do this. I don't do this other thing. I don't do this other thing, right? So Dylan, when you were saying that, I was definitely, hearing like, oh, well, you know, this is what you have to tell monogamous people, actually.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Because they start thinking you're down to
fuck. I do a lot of that. Yeah, yeah. Or that I'm always going after them and everything that they say I'm going to misinterpret as something like, hey, they want to have sex.
Oh, yeah, poly people get that too. It's like, oh, well, you've got two, you know, you've got two boyfriends. Clearly you want to just mess with everyone.
And for the record, I just recently met...
that is the second time you've said for the record
in the last five minutes.
Well,
I was just going to give record. You... Okay, I'm done.
Off the record now.
Off the
record. As if it's not being recorded.
Well, on the
off the record, I think she was pretty cute.
I don't like records anymore. I'm over records. What I was going to say is I just met up with Boris and Doris for the first time, and we all went out to a really cool little dive bar, and the swingers totally saved me from the monogamous people, so you guys get extra credit in my eyes. Boris defended my honor.
I could see him doing that. He's a good guy.
So this is a confession for everyone, but particularly to Pepper.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
She's totally in love with you.
Wouldn't be the first time.
And I want to move in a couple
of months. It's so
difficult. In a couple of months.
So let's see. Prof and I have been open for going on 6 years now, and your blog was, or something that you wrote, I don't know if it was your blog, but something that you wrote was the very first exposure I ever had to any type of alternative partnership ever, any type of non-monogamy. I read it, and I wish I could put my finger on exactly what it was, but it was something that you wrote, and I remember reading it and being, I don't even have words, just being completely blown away by the fact that there was another person in this world who conceived of relationships in the same way or similarly to how I did at the time. And so I just want to let you know that what you were writing then and what you are writing now is making an impact, whether you hear about it at the time or maybe 7 or 8 years down the road. So I just wanted to share that with you. It was very profound for me.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm totally flattered. And I really wish I knew what it was.
I do too. I think it would be a really fascinating it would be fascinating for me to look back on it now in given where I am in my life and partnership and how profound reading it was for me at the time and seeing it through the eyes that I have now. But I don't know what it was.
No, it's
sorry.
Okay.
So I just want to thank Pepper for helping create the awesome person that is Ginger.
Aw. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was mostly her doing.
Well, yeah, but you kicked her down the you know, you kicked the boulder down at the beginning, and it just kept going.
Yeah, I've written so much in so many places.
Absolutely.
I want to take this moment and plug my website, which is freaksexual.com. And up there, I put incredibly convoluted, dense, and theoretical writings about non-monogamy and some BDSM stuff and some other stuff. And also there's like some guides up there, like, you know, how to be non-monogamous. Here's like a you know, list of tips and stuff like that. But, you know, my favorite thing to write is this really, you know, dense theory.
Now that I think about it, it's probably why I ended up reading what you wrote, because the more dense and the more completely theoretical, as deep as you can possibly get, that's what I'm always looking for. So I'm sure it was some very deep and profound manifesto that kept me up late at night, considering where I wanted to go in my relationship, and it took us there.
Awesome. Great.
So it works.
I'm so glad to hear it.
It's also why she's so in love with Christopher Ryan.
Oh.
See?
We're going to call me out on my Christopher Ryan crush? Did you?
Wait, Cooper, we totally missed it. Christopher Ryan was in Chicago.
Yes, I know.
Oh,
yes,
fucking hell. I had no idea until I talked to somebody that was literally walking there and telling me about it. I'm like, no.
It's the sapiosexual in me. What can I say?
Okay, yeah, I have to ask, where did sapiosexual come from? Who threw that out?
What is sapiosexual?
Now everybody's talking about it. Where did it start?
I saw it first on a tweet from someone else, and it's someone who is turned on by just intelligence and kind of intellectual pursuits, and those who practice such things. And so it just popped up, and then all of a sudden it was everywhere. Everyone was talking about it, and there was internet, you know, the little art things that people share, and the little, I don't know, I call them like internet bumper stickers. You know what I'm talking about? Like, all of a sudden, like, they're popping up everywhere, and you're like, oh, wow, didn't realize that was out there, but it happened all at once. But
the word has actually been around. It's been around for a couple of years at least.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
We're going to wrap it up for tonight. We're going to come back next week. Pepper's going to be back, and we're going to talk more about polyamory and swinging, which doesn't sound like we're as far apart as everyone might think. So maybe we can reach common ground. So with that in mind, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow a whole lot of people here. I am at Swing Set Life. Ginger is Ginger and the Prof. We have Shira B. Katz, Dylan_Swingset, Tonya_Swingset, Marilyn Beckett, and Pepper, you are Freak Sexual. Is that correct?
Yes, on Twitter.
On Twitter. Excellent. You can email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. Ask us a question. Whatever you'd like, 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. And we are bringing back the Coming for Cassidy campaign, which means if you give us a voicemail of yourself having a screaming orgasm, we will give you a year membership on Cassidy.com. Really, it's very easy. So we are too. That's it for tonight. Thank you all for joining me, and thank you for swinging by. Hey, listeners. Have you listened to Pedestrian Polyamory and Swinging with the Becketts, the two Life on the Swing Set spin-off podcasts? Well, if you haven't, Pedestrian Polyamory is a look at polyamory from a level-headed point of view, hosted by our own Shira B. Katz and her husband, Gavin Katz. And Swinging with the Becketts features Marilyn and myself interviewing a new swinging couple every month to discuss their time in the lifestyle and any advice they would give to newbies. So check them out, the two new Swing Set podcasts at lifeontheswingset.com.